Damn. Well, we got some happy stuff going on with Formula One, man. And, of course, the guy that's going to give it to us.
Speaking of gay.
Yeah. Whoa.
Wait a minute. Wait, did somebody just call me gay?
No, I'm calling Formula One gay.
Wow.
Do you want to touch my monkey?
Damn. Would you please welcome back to the Speed Freak Spits, the Ringmaster. What's up, Ringer?
How are you guys today? I'm doing fine, trying to stay dry.
All right, man. We don't give a damn about this Brazilian Grand Prix. What's happening between Jackie Stewart, the legendary Jackie Stewart, and Bernie freaking Ecclestone, the head of Formula One?
Well, it all kind of goes back to, it's a he said, she said type argument. I won't, you know, classify which one is being the she in this. But essentially, Bernie Ecclestone's attorneys now have threatened to sue Jackie Stewart for slander and libel, I guess, for saying incorrect and negative things about him in the London Daily Mirror regarding the race, or the, you know, upcoming race with the asterisk beside it at Silverstone, the British Grand Prix. Jackie Stewart is the head of the British Racing Drivers Club, that is the owners of Silverstone, and they are having these, it's like a bad marriage right now, this huge knockdown, drag-out fight about whether or not the British Grand Prix is going to be staged next year or whether it's going to be canceled. And so Jackie says, we're not paying you this kind of money over 7 years because we can't make any money on it. And Bernie says, yes, you are going to pay me this kind of money or we're not going to have a British Grand Prix.
Now, the F1 without a British Grand Prix is like NASCAR without, what, Bristol?
Take away the short track, the premier short track race in NASCAR, and that's basically, the Formula One basically started the very first Grand Prix in 1950, and the current F1 configuration was the British Grand Prix. So to knock that out would be like taking the Indy 500 out of the IRL.
We've got the ringmaster here in the Speed Freaks pits. When you talk about the ego of Bernie Ecclestone, does Jackie Stewart's ego even get close to Bernie's?
You know what? I don't even know. I think everybody that's involved in motorsports, we all have egos, right?
I mean,
that's the reason that people do it is because they love the ego and the association with it.
Whose
is bigger? I think everybody by far is probably blown way out of proportion. It's probably bigger than what it should be. But, you know, Jackie Stewart is Sir Jackie Stewart. Yeah. So he has been knighted, and I don't think Bernie Ecclestone is Sir Bernie yet. So, you know, I think Jackie may have the advantage.
Yeah, that alone is enough to, you know, take on Jackie, because Bernie has this huge belief in himself and understanding of who he is, especially as it relates to the British Empire.
Yeah, well, yeah. Jackie Stewart is the British word for sportsman. I mean, he is the symbol. You know, I remember when I was a kid with the ABC Wide World of Sports, wasn't he with Jean-Claude Keeley and, you know?
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly.
They were all Rolex guys or whatever. So I think Jackie, you know, I think historically most people would probably side with Jackie Stewart because he obviously has the more famous name, but Bernie wants it that way, so.
So are you telling the Freak Nation there's a possibility for a Formula One split?
Yes, that's what, well, it's very real. It's basically, compare it to the CART IRL situation, it could happen, and it could happen as soon as 2007, where the manufacturers are basically upset that they're getting a 36% slice of the overall pie, of the broadcasting pie. They're not getting any money from the circuits or the, you know, or the hospitality, or merchandise in Formula One is pathetic. So, you know.
Now, tell me that, what we were laughing about this earlier, it takes, what'd you say it was? It was like $10,000 to put a tent on the circuit?
To get to a Grand Prix, to set up a Grand Prix, if you're a sponsor, if you want to set up a tent in the infield, it's $25,000. Now, if you want to promote out of that tent, it's $35,000. And if you want to sell anything, it's $55,000.
My God.
Yeah, that's just to have a tent on the infield. And all of that money goes to Bernie.
So when I called,
it's like literally a weekend at Bernie's.
Absolutely. So when I called from the Canadian GP and was standing in the tent, little did I realize that actually, since I was promoting something, I probably am on the hook for $35,000.
You do suck.
Wow.
Ouch.
So now listen, though, we do have another GP that's on the horizon too. I want to make mention of it. Did you guys hear about Mexico?
You know, I've heard rumblings, but is that really going to happen?
Yeah, it's, well, you know, I mean, again, this whole split is what's going to make the decision. Mm. Essentially, all of the Formula One teams have agreed to 16 races a year. That's what their Concord agreement basically stipulates. Now, as we know, they're doing 18 races this year, so they're already two races over that, and they're not getting any more money. Bernie would like to kick everything up.
Bernie is.
Yeah, exactly. He'd like to kick everything up to virtually like 20 Grands Prix now, is what the ultimate goal is. And so countries like Turkey that'll be on next year, and then Mexico the year after, some of these circuits that are older and aren't the state-of-the-art facility like the new Chinese Grand Prix was, or Malaysia, you know, are going to get cut. So places like Imola and Manicourt in France and Silverstone that has an update, Bernie's like, okay, here's what we'll do. I'm going to get all these new countries on board that are going to pay me all this money and also let me run with cigarette advertising, and I'm going to start cutting the traditional races that were the foundation of Formula One in Europe.
God, this is so much Kart F1, Kart IRL.
Yeah, it is.
Gosh, it is just, it's a mirror image of it.
It's exactly, you know, and basically it's hard to be a team without manufacturer support because you don't have anybody to make the engines. When you're spending in excess of $400 million a year like Ferrari, and you're only getting 36% of the broadcast pie, you can see very quickly that nobody's making any money doing this.
And the big thing is, it's not Bernie that's making F1. It's that Ferrari car, that $400 million car, whatever, going around the track.
It's Rubens, it's Michael, it's Kimi, it's Fernando. That's, you know, it's no
one
show. And essentially, though, you know, it's not really considered F1. It'd be like taking the New York Yankees out of baseball.
Right.
You know, so if there's no Ferrari, Ferrari is the deciding constructor in what's happening.
So who would be the Boston Red Sox?
Yeah.
Would that be Williams or McLaren?
This year, probably Renault.
Oh. That's true.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I think it's a good thing for the overall awareness of F1, and I love to see that where more people in the North America will be talking about F1 because the guys in your neck of the woods have an opportunity to go down to Cancun versus coming to Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah. Okay, but what about Indianapolis? Well, ever since it started in Indianapolis just a couple years ago, everybody's thinking, oh, it's not going to stay. It's going to go to the West Coast. Or what's going to happen there?
Well, basically the way that it's structured where you can't really make money on anything but tickets and parking. I mean, you'd have to spend $100 million to get a track upgraded so it becomes FIA-approved A1 track that could actually host a Formula One race. And under the current configuration, the only way that the promoters make any money is from, you know, ticket sales and parking. Who wants to spend $100 million for ticket sales and parking?
Well, we also, like Indianapolis, Tony doesn't make any money on parking.
Right.
So is he losing money?
He makes a little bit on parking, but it's mostly driven to ticket sales.
Is it the Coke lot? I don't know. Where does it?
And over there by the IRL mall building.
Oh, okay, so they have some property of parking, because most of it, that's the beauty of Indianapolis, most of the parking's free because it's in the middle of the city.
Right. And, well, people have their own, you can park in somebody's lawn or something like that. But essentially, basically the Indianapolis race, the money that comes in from it is all based on tickets.
Is he losing money on that F1 race?
Well, nobody really knows for sure, but I mean, the structure of the deal says that, you know, every year Bernie gets between $12 and $19 million a year just to have the race here with a 10% cost of living adjustment.
Good God.
And then your paddock is completely controlled by his buddy Patty McNally, and they split that money 50-50 basically. And Indianapolis. So if you buy a Coke inside the Indianapolis Motor Speedway during the Formula One race, that actually goes to Formula One.
Yeah.
So is Bernie going to go with probably not.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know the exact financials, but I would say it'd be pretty hard to.
So is Bernie willing, with all that we've talked about, all the money coming to him, is Bernie willing to destroy the F1 to save it? Is his ego that big? Is he that crazy?
Yeah, that's kind of a loaded question, but I'd have to be on the part that I think these guys would rather die than give up control.
Hmm.
You know, and if I it's kind of like, you know, if I can't have it, then no one can.
And that's kind of what happened in Kart. I mean, if you go back, Andrew Craig, I don't even know if you want to put Bob Rahal in there, Chris Pook. I mean, it they wanted control when each of them were at the head of the helm, but at the same time, they all destroyed it in their own way.
Well, the most successful motorsport series in the world have a dictator, you know, and they basically call them the benevolent dictators. Bill France and Bernie Ecclestone are almost kind of the same with that.
And the old John Bishop in IMSA years ago.
Mm-hmm. Right, but the word benevolent is very, you know, it's a very funny word. When do you just become a flat-out dictator? No longer benevolent. And I think Bernie probably, to the manufacturers at least, has crossed over from benevolence to, you know, straight dictator.
Ringmaster, I think if you take away tater from dictator, you got Bernie Ecclestone. And a few of the old former card owners, too. We got the Ringmaster here in the Speed Freaks Pits. Before we let you go, any kind of highlights we can look for the Brazilian Grand Prix?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I think that this, and it's the last race of the year, and it's on in prime time, at least in the afternoon, for the United States. This is going to be the best race of the year, and Michael Schumacher is not going to win it. I don't think he's going to get close. I'd like to see a personal favorite. I'd like to see Rubens Barrichello.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice.
I think that he's going to be right there. He's set up to do it, but I think that it's going to be the race of the year, and Montoya and Kimi and Button are all going to make it real interesting.
Oh, you know, right there, that's Cristiano D'Amato flipping off Bernie. I see it.
Hey, Ringmaster, thanks for taking some time out to come in, buddy.
Absolutely, guys. Have a great weekend.
Talk to you soon.